Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I need to issue a little disclaimer right up front. For those of you who were holding on through the real estate show, you may not realize that that was a rerun. And the last thing they do before they sign off is to look through the glass at us, and we give them a thumbs up or thumbs down for how the market was. And a week ago today, we had four thumbs up. I need to
not
correct
so much
that.
This week.
So as we go into it this morning, just remember that we weren't wrong. It was just a timing problem. Anyway, all the regulars, thanks for always being there. You know, we love doing the show because of people like you. And if you're new to the show and found out about it either on purpose, by accident, by reference, whatever, welcome. Try to stick around for the hour. We'll talk about a bunch of fun things, and I guarantee you'll learn something. And further, if you want to derail our train of thought any old time, all you got to do is pick up the phone. Dial 904-222-8255, and we will give way to whatever you want to talk about immediately. You guys are more important than what we've got to say. After last week with all those thumbs up, it just was kind of a disappointment this week.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, though.
Well, we started out well.
We did.
Monday was great.
Yeah, and that kind of saved the rest of the
week.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
spent the weekend doing Monday.
There was no shortage of news for pundits to talk about this week. Personally, I don't think any of it moved the market, no matter what they say. I think this was a case of good old-fashioned profit-taking. All the markets were trading well above their moving averages, and it just was one of those weeks you kind of had a feeling that it was going to come back down to earth. At least I did going into the week. So
well, it if wasn't they were looking for good news, they could have found it. So I assume they weren't looking.
Ooh, there was a lot of bad news. So
well, it was a real mixed bag.
We had inflation. We had fear of a Fed hike. We had the Delta variant. We had tensions with China escalating. We had intervention in Cuba potential. We had Afghanistan being taken over the Taliban. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on that was negative.
And then there were the economics, which were really great.
I mean, when inflation indicators beat their estimates, is that really great?
Well, it depends.
Yeah. So
you need inflation, which arguably we do, yes.
We need a little bit. We don't need as much as we're seeing right now.
That made up for some lost time, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, it's also one of those times when good news can be considered bad news. So when you see a strong retail sales report and the market starts the day up like it did on Friday and then it drops for the rest of the day, that is the classic good news is bad news because, the market's so good, the Fed might raise rates.
Exactly. So, want to hear what the experts had to say prior to the retail sales? Zero Hedge, expect a, quote, marked slowdown in retail sales.
Didn't see that.
Forex Live, the problem with retail sales. NASDAQ, sizing up June retail sales, expect a 0.5% decline. Market Screener, June retail sales expected to decline. RDSP Investments, S&P 500 falls as bulls sidelined despite upbeat earnings, retail sales eyed. They blew it.
Yeah,
they sure blew it big.
Well, the expectation was a drop of 0.3%, and we actually showed a gain of 0.6%. So they missed it by almost a full percentage point.
That's a lot of money difference.
And not just missed it, but they thought it would decline and it increased. Right. That's a huge difference.
It was all eaten up in price increases. Well, they did never bring that up.
Of the 13 sectors in the report, 9 posted month-over-month gains, so it was a pretty well-rounded report. Of the 13 sectors, only one didn't move more than 1% in either direction. That is very unusual.
Yes, it is.
Really volatile. That amount of volatility should decrease as things return to a more normal state post-COVID. The losers in the report were furniture, auto parts, sporting goods, and building materials. Now, if that list sounds a lot like the things that benefited from COVID, that's because those are the things that benefited from COVID. Hmm. So they were all down more than 1% as people went back to having experiences, traveling, going to bars and restaurants.
Which is related to the trivia question you're going to do after the break.
Somewhat, yeah. The biggest gainers were miscellaneous, whatever that is, electronics and appliances, clothing, gas stations, and bars and restaurants. So there you go. The things that were up this month were things that were down during COVID. So a pretty interesting report, really a big shift from the last year, but overall very a positive report as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was positive, the market results weren't not. The NASDAQ took the steepest dive, losing 1.9%. S&P was down 1%, and the Dow was off just 0.5%. That was despite a 300-point drop on Friday. So the Dow actually was having a pretty nice week up until Friday. The NASDAQ is the only one that has turned negative for the month. The Dow and the S&P are both still positive. So,
yeah, and look at the year-to-date, too.
Man. Yeah.
We needed a pause.
Exactly.
I would call this a relief consolidation or something.
Exactly. That's why I wasn't surprised to see it at all.
Right.
Energy was the biggest drag on the S&P 500 this week. It lost more than 7%. Really interesting.
I couldn't figure that one out.
No, it really took a dive. Consumer discretionary and materials were down 1.9%. Utilities were the big winner, up more than 2.5%, followed by consumer staples up 1.4%. There was definitely a flight from cyclical to the defensive stocks within the S&P 500 this week. And maybe that was the Delta variant news sort of pushing that. We are seeing spikes all across the country. Mm-hmm. Again, if people were vaccinated, this wouldn't be a problem.
And it's not as deadly as the original.
Yeah,
there's some deaths spiking up.
I think it's just the mental fatigue from COVID.
What does it get you? You go out and get yourself a couple of vaccines and run whatever risk there is in there, which is not great. And then they want you to wear a mask.
Well, some places.
Some places.
Yeah.
Viva la Florida.
Mm-hmm. The U.S. wasn't the only market to sell off this week either. Equities around the world were following the same pattern. There were a few positive markets like Brazil up 3.3%, Hong Kong up 1.6%, and Mexico 1.4%.
Now, let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. Brazil was up.
Yeah.
They have a COVID problem like nobody else on Earth.
True.
Hong Kong is being threatened by the mainland.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
Was this a contrarian week?
Maybe.
And Mexico, I don't know. How are things in Mexico?
I haven't heard anything good or bad.
Well, they're getting rid of a lot of their cast-offs. Just send them over to Texas.
Oh, I saw that.
Maybe that's why Mexico's doing so well.
Record arrests at the border.
Crazy. Blew the number right through the roof.
Yeah. By and large, international markets were down. Spain was one of the biggest losers, down 4%. UK was down 2.3%. Canada, about 2%. So despite that, the emerging markets ETF, EEM, it bucked the trend and gained 0.3%. But the all world, except for U.S. ETF, was off by almost 1%. So emerging markets actually looked pretty good this week relative to the rest of the world. Yeah, they've been dragging a little bit recently. Commodities were flat. Oil dropped almost 2%. Gold was up. Silver was down. One area of strength was the bond market as the 10-year treasury yield dropped under 1.3 to end the week. So kind of a plunging 10-year yield, which was interesting.
It is. And oil did actually settle down this week because of Friday, too. But it's still high. There are some things that I found kind of inexplicable. Small caps took it on the chin.
They did.
Really badly.
Yeah.
And it seems now that there's sector rotation, size rotation, all kinds of rotating things that you can't really pinpoint a reason why. So I made in my notes this morning, SPTM, which is the total stock market index, I looked that against everything, and it's kind of picking up everything that's going on, good, bad, and indifferent. So something to think about for investors. All right, we're going to pay some bills. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the VanWee Financial Hour.
heart attack? He was 47. What about Janice and the kids? Do they have life insurance?
No.
Call SelectQuote now and get the insurance your family needs at a price you can afford.
In minutes, SelectQuote found John, 45, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $29 a month. And his wife, Anne, 43, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $21 a month.
At SelectQuote, we comparison shop some of the most trusted insurance companies in America to find you the best rate in minutes. And it's free.
For your free quote, call 1-800-644-1331. That's 1-800-644-1331. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-644-1331.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Every day in this country, police officers put on their badge to protect and serve our communities. That service comes with a great risk to their personal health and safety. Officers never know if today's the day that they'll leave their home, never to return. Their families bear that risk as well. That's why Mike Gallagher founded Gallagher's Heroes. Gallagher's Heroes Fallen Officer Fund supports the family of officers killed in the line of duty. We help meet the immediate needs of police families in the wake of unthinkable tragedy. We also provide the First Responders Bible free of charge to the brave men and women who help keep our communities safe every day. Please support law enforcement by contributing to Gallagher's Heroes Fallen Officer Fund. Go to gallaghersheroes.org or call 888-99-I-GIVE. Let's show our police officers everywhere that we honor their commitment to our communities. That's gallaghersheroes.org or 888-99-I-GIVE. Support brave police families today. Go to gallaghersheroes.org or call 888-99-I-GIVE.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have, as usual, a trivia question, and as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, and this week Adam has it.
I do. So let me just pull it up. One second.
I said it was okay. COVID-related somewhat. It is. It has to do with people's opinions, their lifestyles, their reconsideration as to what's important now, and
yeah,
all those things.
So I thought this was really interesting. This is an annual survey that looks at people's attitudes towards money and what it takes to be rich. And this year, there was a big difference in what the amount of money that it takes for the average person in that took the survey to consider someone wealthy or rich. How much less money in dollars does it take to be wealthy this year versus last year?
According to the general public.
Yeah.
Well, I think you first have to define rich, which I have done, so you don't even have to think about it. It's somebody else who has more money than you do.
Or if you listen to the media, it's someone with a big income.
Yes, and you know, that's really one of the interesting things. I've got all kinds of stuff on this, but some people consider millionaires people who make $1 million. Well, I can show you people who make $1 million and they don't have two nickels to rub together.
I've seen some really interesting figures that people have put together about people making $1 million and living in Manhattan. And at the end of the year, they have about as much disposable income as someone making $200,000 in a regular city. It's crazy.
Yeah, let's not mistake this. To be rich, you need wealth. To stay rich, don't spend the principal.
It's very true.
That's the real truth. But that's not how people think. So don't answer the question based on what I told you. We're talking about what the average person's perception is. And by the way, repeating that, the number you want
is okay, there's a dollar amount that last year that people considered, if you had this much, you're wealthy or you're rich.
Yeah, so that you're really talking about wealth, I think.
Yeah, wealth. Okay. So it's a fixed dollar figure. It's not income.
Right.
It's how much money do you need to have to be rich today versus last year in the same survey. And what is the difference between those two?
Okay. And it's either up or down there. I just gave him a great clue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So it's not the same.
I'm always trying to help.
All right. A couple of things to wrap up. Earnings season is now underway, and it started with a bang early in the week as J.P. Morgan actually doubled their profits from last year, and Goldman Sachs blew out their report as well. And then Citi and Bank of America also both reported and had good quarters, and all four of them dropped in stock price. So just goes to show you can't figure that out. I don't know.
Some days you can't cut a break.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works, but that's what happened. But earnings season off to a pretty good start, and we're going to get a lot more earnings this week and then really ramp up the following week. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and let you know what happens.
The other thing that blew them away – well, go finish up here.
No, I was going to move on to inflation. So
yeah, me too.
Oh, okay.
The other thing that blew them away was inflation. There's some numbers for you.
Yeah, so we were joking before the show. If a inflation report beats its expectation, meaning there's more inflation than what they thought, is that a good thing? Because according to the way that we look at these things, they consider it a beat on inflation. But, gosh, some of these numbers are beats so high that – it's hard to really look at it like a good thing if you're a consumer. So
we've spent so many months in the last few years with negative numbers where even a zero was considered a good beat for a long time. It was through the Great Recession, as they love to call it.
And the recovery. And
then COVID and so on. So we needed some inflation. And for if that sounds funny to anybody, think about what having some inflation means. There is no incentive to put off a purchase. There is no incentive for producers to produce later.
No, it's the opposite, actually.
It's the opposite. It stimulates the economy when we have some inflation.
Yeah. It makes you feel like you need to buy now because it's going to be more expensive tomorrow.
So if you wonder why the Fed has a minimum of 2%, I actually prefer a number between 3 and 4.
Historically, at least when I was in grad school a lot of years ago, 3% was always the number we used for inflation,
but which I think is very reasonable,
Ever since I got out of grad school, we haven't even really seen a 3% inflation rate. So,
well, look now.
Yeah, now we have it, and I'm not sure I love it.
No.
the CPI was up 5.4% year over year. It was the highest since July of 2008. The pace of increase has now declined for 8 months in a row. So that is giving the Fed's transitory argument a little bit of credence, but it's not.
What's important? The rise, the rate of change, the price level?
Yes, all of the above, you know, I think.
When you say inflation is transitory, does that mean prices will stop going up as fast, come down? They don't really explain themselves.
I kind of understand what they're saying. I really believe that the used auto market, which you're going to talk about in a minute, is overheated right now. I think that not only will you see the rate of increase stop, I think you will actually see a decrease in the prices of used cars. Because right now there's a limited supply, and that's what's driving the price up, and that's not going to last.
And a lot of it is artificial, not due to COVID. It's artificial due to the shortage of semiconductors that are keeping new cars from being finished.
I think there's something else going on there. A lot of people moved out of cities and bought a car during COVID.
Another good point.
Yeah, and I think that as people move back to New York and L.A. and Chicago and the big, big cities where you don't really need a car, I think we'll see that reverse a little bit.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but one of the smarter tongues on TV this week said, we're going to start manufacturing more used cars.
That's funny.
I thought so.
Yeah, so from February to May of 2020, inflation was actually declining due to COVID, but from June on, it has been increasing, June of last year. So now, year-over-year comps going forward, you've lost the excuse of, well, we're coming off a low base, and it's not right. valid anymore. So now, the ones from here until the end of the year are much more important than the ones we saw in the first half of the year.
Yeah,
so
the COVID months are dropping off all the 12-month moving averages now. So you're talking real versus real.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And so we really need to be, if the pace of inflation doesn't slow down, at least slow down from here on out, then we really need to start getting a little bit more worried about the inflation and the possibility of a Fed rate hike.
And we're running out of year, which means, yep, I'm talking fiscal year now, where the Social Security cost of living estimates, COLA estimates, they're now up to 6.1% estimated. And I think last year we got 6.1. That's a big jump, folks.
Government can't afford it. They'll never admit it.
It is going to be real bad for the deficit. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no way they would ever give that. They would somehow use the chain CPI to get out of that.
Even that's running neck and neck. Mm-hmm. And I know what you're saying. I know they're going to try, but it's getting... You can run, but you can't hide. We'll see, won't we?
Or maybe just give the increase and then increase Medicare by 50%.
Oh, you can count on that.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, there's a provision in Medicare that says not everybody has to pay the minimum, which sounds kind of weird. But if you're in a position, and some people are, it's usually transitory, if I might use the word of the day. If they're in a position where they're, Social Security didn't go up as much as their Medicare, that the government can't raise their cost of Medicare to them any more than the increase in Social Security. So we have to wait for a year where Social Security goes up more than Medicare, and then they play catch up. But the bottom line on this is your net Social Security check cannot go down unless you change income brackets, and then IRMA kicks in. That's just a little oddity about it, which, frankly, I think is only fair. Otherwise, people would be taking home less money. The older people would be taking home less money year after year after year. We can't have that.
No. Well,
I mean, of them. We can't have that.
We can't afford it. No. The government can't afford it.
Exactly.
There's too many people on Social Security, and they already can't afford it.
So. 61 million.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
They all paid in and did what they were supposed to do, so they deserve the benefits.
Yep, we were good soldiers.
But the system is just not... Not the funding part of it is not working right now.
No.
And a lot of that's demographics. I haven't seen any really good studies about what happens when all the generation below mine, Gen Y or the millennials, are earning and earning their full earning potential. You would think that some of that would shift since my generation is so small.
Yeah, you would. We got an hourglass going on population-wise.
Right. Very,
the old boomers, me. Are so much more numerous, even as we're dying off. The middle, your generation, is small because it started small. And then you guys are much better about it, apparently, than we were. And now the younger generation is large again. So we've got a sort of a temporary problem. It's structural.
I haven't seen
right
anyone
now.
Prove that it's temporary, but it feels like it should be.
It does. And if we can avoid doing stupid stuff, as Obama always liked to say, then we'll probably come out of it. Meanwhile, in 2031, it's going broke.
Yeah, well, under the current. As we've talked about, no party is going to be the one that lets that happen under their watch. It doesn't matter who's in power.
Okay. Oh, we're going to get into some other topics. I want everybody to hang on. Look in your bank accounts.
Yes.
Did you get child tax credits? If you do... Do not hang up this program and go anywhere else. Sit and listen right after the break. You're going to hear something you did not expect.
You could be facing a hefty surprise at the end of the year.
And you won't like it. Another quick note, last week I mentioned that used cars were coming down, and this week they said they were up 10.5. Both of those are in June. Depends how you measure it. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Forecasters say dry, unstable, and windy conditions will keep fueling a massive wildfire in southern Oregon. The largely uncontained blaze blamed for destroying some 70 homes and more than 100 other outbuildings, and it's growing by miles every day because of the ongoing fire-friendly conditions. Meanwhile, in Belden, California, residents are packing up their belongings and preparing to flee in the event they have to. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says the country is seeing a serious rise in coronavirus cases after they had tapered off. And she also says about 70% of new cases were reported over the past week, an increase of 70%, and more people are dying from those infections. And in Walensky's words, the U.S. is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated when it comes to COVID-19. This is SRN News.
Florida's economy depends on restoring America's Everglades. Everglades restoration will not only improve our environment, it will create 65,000 new infrastructure jobs and support hundreds of thousands of jobs tied to the real estate, recreation, and tourism industries. Let's invest in our future. Restore America's Everglades. Create jobs. Learn more at evergladesfoundation.org.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You've heard us talk about the 5-year warranty on all the watches we sell, but really to talk about guarantees and warranties, you have to look at our history of over 90 years in business. Underwood's entire reason for existence is and has been to offer the finest things, which will bring such satisfaction that both the giver and the receiver will want to come back, and hopefully they'll tell their friends about us. To do this means we've got to try our hardest to satisfy every customer, and all of our people understand that. Now, I'm sure over the years we've made a few mistakes, but we've never failed to make good on any Underwood piece that was returned to us with a legitimate problem. Our entire reputation wouldn't mean a thing if we didn't conduct ourselves that way. Simply put, conducting our business with honesty and integrity is a lot more important to Underwoods and our customers than all the guarantees, warranties, and other contrived legal obligations in the world. And you have our word on that.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 1526479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Sunny today with a high of 92. Tonight, temperatures dropping to 75 with mostly clear skies. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. And as for the rest of the work week, Monday through Friday, more chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and temperatures reaching into the low 90s.
Van Lee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we still have a trivia question out there, which is?
It is. How much, according to a recent survey, how much less money does it take to be considered wealthy this year versus last year?
And a lot of it is COVID-related attitudes about life and people and money, according to the survey people. All right. Did you, we got a phone ring. Did you receive some extra money in your checking account this past week? What day was it, Thursday?
I believe it was Thursday morning. I woke up to find a deposit that I was not expecting in my checking account.
That was the current round of child tax credits. Now, the tax credit is not like it was. Now, first rule of the Van Wee Financial Hour is, good morning, George.
Good morning.
What's happening?
I've got a question that came to mind in listening to Joe Pippin this morning.
Yeah.
I recently added my daughter to my money market account as a joint owner.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered a gift, so I have to pay gift taxes on it? Or
technically, that is a question for a CPA or an attorney. I'll give you an opinion, but I won't give you an answer because we're not qualified to do that. I'll go with no on this one, only because I've been told that. And I don't know. Adam's sitting here staring at me, and I can see the wheels going around in his head, too.
If I'm the IRS and I want that to be considered a gift, I think they could make a valid argument that it is.
Yes, but it won't really happen. Now, you don't have a couple million in your money market account, do you?
No.
Good. Because we'd have to talk about other things, too, then. But I think the ruling on that would probably go, according to the times I've been asked about this or have asked professionals about it, that since she has control of the money, she can take 100% of it and run, and you're out. And therefore, they don't consider it a gift. It's an ownership. But again, this is Steve talking as a CFP. It is not an attorney. It is not a CPA. And it cannot be construed as actual advice. So please don't take it that way.
Okay. But I figured as long as I was the one that was going to pay the federal tax on the interest in the account, that it wouldn't be a gift.
Well, and let's talk about that. The 1099 is probably going to go to both of you 50-50.
You think so?
Well, she's an owner. Now, you can pay the taxes and give, or she can pay the taxes and you can reimburse her for it and still stay well under the legal limit for gifting. But technically, if you're dual owners, you get a 1099 with both names on it, which means IRS is going to match two Social Security numbers to it.
Yeah.
It seems logical to me anyway. Well, did you just do this because you're such a nice guy, or did you do it because somebody told you to? And if so, was that your daughter?
Just for safety purposes.
Which I think is fine.
Yeah,
I honestly don't mind that at all. A better way probably would be to open up a different account, move the money into it, and on that account attach a rider that's called a TOD or a transfer on death. And then she does not have access to it, so she can't rob you blind.
But
Adam's thinking here.
But if I
want her to have access to it.
But if he needs help paying bills
or anything like that, then a durable power attorney
would work.
Because
that would be a safer way to do it.
If you give her a durable power of attorney on all your financial accounts, she doesn't need anything else because that'll allow her to do things while you're alive. Now, the durable power doesn't survive you. So at that moment, you want to also have had a TOD or a beneficiary clause on all of your accounts that will go to her.
Now, that being said, this is a situation that we see fairly often.
Yeah.
And as long as we're talking about a relatively not huge amount of money, I don't know. Joe would be able to answer it exactly, but it's not something that I would spend a lot of time worrying about.
Yeah, but you're talking about $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. I would just.
I'm talking about a couple of hundred thousand.
Oh well,
yeah, now you're getting up into some real money.
Yeah.
I do much prefer the durable power of attorney, and a TOD clause. And again, it's not tax advice. It's what we would do. Because we know that it's not going to cause any problems. And you know, I have had a couple people in the office over time. Adam knows this. People came in and said, I put my daughter or sister or whatever on my account. She took the money, and I haven't seen her since.
Not that this would happen to you, but we have seen that.
Yeah. So if you want to set it up in a, quote, safer manner, I would transfer it to a brand-new account only in your name with her permission. And then give her the durable power of attorney and the TOD on it. And now you're covered for sure.
Now you're allowed how much lifetime gift? 200 and something, was it?
Oh, way, way more than that.
5.7 million.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if
now, the only thing is, if you give her more than $15,000 in a year, you have to file a gift tax return for any amount in excess of $15,000. But that's just a form 706 goes with your tax return. I think 706 is right. And the rumor about that is the IRS gets a tax return in the mail, and the guy jumps up and yells, gift tax return.
Yeah.
Guy opens the mail and jumps up and down and says, hey, everybody, some idiot filed a gift tax return. But don't believe it. You really do need to. And if they ever start looking at you, they won't look at it for that. But if they start looking at you for something else and they find that, uh-oh. Gift taxes are 40%.
Yeah. It's quite steep.
Yeah. So I know that was kind of complicated and not a good legal opinion, but it's good advice from a planning standpoint.
Yeah, George, with the amount of money you have in there, it is something that you should think about. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was quite that much money, so that would be enough that the IRS could get interested, and I would maybe do something about that. I would call Joe too next Saturday, or even offline, and just get his opinion on that. He would be a good resource for that.
Yeah,
I'll do that. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Did you want to take a shot at the trivia question?
What was it? What was how much more you had to earn last year to be rich, or what?
Not earn.
Actually,
and it's not more.
Actually, have it's less.
Say 200,000.
More or less, plus or minus.
Well, he's saying less.
A less?
Okay. Yeah, and because it is less. And it's actually even, it's a bigger number than that.
Yeah.
COVID changed perception so much that it's a substantially bigger number than $200,000.
Yep. But you have bracketed it very nicely with a low level, but it's really quite a bit more than that.
Guess,
I think you'll be surprised what a change of attitude can happen in a year.
A lot of things changed in a year.
Yeah,
no didn't kidding. They, though? And it does make you appreciate some of the finer things. And I don't mean wealth.
All right. Thanks again.
Well, thank
thanks
you
for the call.
I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, that it happens so often. And I guess what I really need to do is get a legal opinion on that.
I have a feeling that this is one of those that if you ask 10 lawyers, you might get three different opinions.
Yeah, I'll ask the world's greatest expert on everything, my CPA.
Yeah.
She's not listening.
All right, let's talk about the tax credit.
Yeah. All right, so you got some money in your account.
I did.
And this was really funny because I hadn't started this topic yet because I really didn't know much about it. Adam sent me an early morning text or email or something, said, I just got it, what, $330 or whatever in the account that I didn't expect. And I said, yeah, that's the new child tax credit plan went into effect today.
But I'm not eligible for the child tax credit. So
then, but they don't know that because you haven't filed a tax return yet.
But I have.
Well, then they looked at an old one.
Yeah, they looked at the 2019, obviously. Where
we're going to have to get technical on this, and I hate getting technical, but this is not like last time. When you folks were getting your child tax credits last time, it was not your money that you pay in routinely. It was a gift from Uncle Sam, and that gift was yours no matter when you took it, because some people didn't have a checking account or whatever, and they didn't get it. So some people got checks, some people got direct deposits, and others didn't get it until they filed their taxes. But that money was a prebate, you might say, on a tax credit that they gave to people. Now, this is not like that. So I'm going to try to simplify this a little more afterwards and tell you what to look for, because it's important. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
A heart attack? He was 47. What about Janice and the kids? Do they have life insurance?
No.
Call SelectQuote now and get the insurance your family needs at a price you can afford.
In minutes, SelectQuote found John, 45, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $29 a month. And his wife, Ann, 43, in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for only $21 a month.
At SelectQuote, we comparison shop some of the most trusted insurance companies in America to find you the best rate in minutes. And it's free.
For your free quote, call 1-800-644-1331. That's 1-800-644-1331. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-644-1331.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent, with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and he can't take it with him. Well, I went to work and found Ray, who's 40 and takes medication to control his high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's way more coverage for a lot less than what he was paying. If SelectQuote didn't shop for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote and to find out how much you can save, call 1-800-346-1122. That's 1-800-346-1122. 1-800-346-1122. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we still have our trivia question out there. American attitudes have softened a bit as to what constitutes being rich. How much less wealth does one have to have this year, according to the survey, less than last year, according to the same survey? And we know it's in excess of $200,000. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We are excellent, and I assume you are, too, because you're on the phone.
I'm hanging in there.
Good
hanging
for you.
In there. All right. The political news isn't the greatest these days coming from Washington, but that's a horse of a different color.
That it is.
I'm going to give a shot at the trivia.
Sure.
For it. Uh-oh. What? Are you back?
Did we lose you?
Oh. I'm sorry?
Oh, there we go. You cut out for a bit, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. Okay. If I go according to a survey done by Charles Schwab, who classifies things,
you'll probably be
It might be 1.9 million.
It's the difference we're looking for. That's the gross number.
Oh, the difference. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, then, I think the difference, I think they lastly calculated 2.6, well,
that's right.
700,000?
Yeah, there you go.
Ding, ding, ding. You
that
got
is
it.
What we were looking for.
Yeah. So this year, good news for everyone
it is.
Who wants to be wealthy.
Yeah.
It requires 700,000 less dollars this year than it used to. So
2.6 is a pretty hefty number. 1.9 is not an insignificant number, but it's a heck of a lot easier than the 2.6. And all that reflects, according to the information in the Schwab report, it reflects people having a little bit different idea of what makes life good and being comfortable and wealthy in some respect. That if people are doing things and they're appreciating family and they like being able to get out of the house without putting a stupid diaper on your face, and all those things are adding to the quality of life nowadays and soften people a little bit. All right, we will put you on hold and get your name and address, and Adam will send you something. Yeah, please.
I appreciate it. Do I have 1 minute to point out something I just read that I thought was interesting?
You absolutely do. Fire away.
I appreciate that. It has to do with government statistics and how sometimes what the government puts out isn't entirely accurate.
Thanks. Strange.
Okay, yeah, so Barron's pointed out this morning that when they calculated the rate of inflation in 1979, they included housing prices.
Yep.
And the rise in housing prices was approximately 14%, which brought the inflation rate, I think, to 11.3%.
Mm-hmm.
But the government, like only they can do, decided not to use that calculation,
right.
The rise in housing prices, which, according to Barron's, was 23% in the past year, which would bring the inflation rate much higher than they're claiming it is. So I just thought that was
true.
Interesting.
They substituted a number called OER, owner equivalent rent.
Owner, right. Well, how does that work?
They make it up. You know what it was for June? The increase for June in OER?
2.3%?
It was 0.3% for
0.3%.
OER. Yeah, just for OER. Now, that, had they considered it against the amount of money people actually spend on that thing might well have been two or three or four times that. So it doesn't fit their narrative, therefore they have to change it. They've been doing that with the CPI since I've been alive.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Enjoy your weekend, gentlemen. You have the greatest show.
Thank you, and I will put you on hold, and we'll get your...
This is why I always say the government will not allow inflation. They'll make some other way up to avoid admitting inflation.
Look over there.
Amen.
Yeah. Look over there, government. Exactly. All right. Larry.
Quick question.
Shoot.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
A required minimum...
Nope.
To your knowledge, has the age gone up, down, or...
It is 72 now, currently. There is some discussion about raising it again. It recently went from 70 and a half to 72.
And for people born after June 30th, 1949.
Correct. And so that's a little bit of relief. And there's talk of going to 75, but it has not happened. So if you are 72 this year, RMDs are back, and you do have to take one.
He dropped off. But the government statistical... people, or maybe it's Las Vegas, says there's a 53% chance of that passing.
Okay.
Anything that's good for people, if it's over 50-50, I'm good for it. But yes, the two things. You have to take one if it's your time. Three things, actually. If you are turning 72 this year, your required beginning date is not this year. It's March 31st of next year. We usually recommend taking one this year because it keeps you out of trouble with the double payment.
Unless you are still
working.
And you are planning on retiring at the end of this year and your income is going to drop substantially next year, then it might be better to push it.
Good idea. Yeah. The other thing is, once you get started this year, or even if you start next year, the tables are changing January 1 of 2022. and you have to take a little less.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're deferring your 2021 payment, use the old table on that one, then you switch to the new table for the second one that's due by the end of the year. I know all that sounds a little complicated, but your custodians will generally figure it out for you, unless you've inherited an IRA. And if that gets complicated for you, call us and we'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
Because it is very complicated.
It is.
All right. Let's see where we're going. I'm going to try to use this by example. Prior child credits, prior to this one, the government would say, we're using a number of $300 a month or $3,600. Now, it's going to vary by children and income and all that. So let's say the previous time, government says, okay, I'm giving you a tax credit of $3,600 on April 15th. Not only that, it's what they call a refundable tax credit. That's like saying, I know it's an elephant, but I'm going to call it a horse. There is no such thing as refunding something you didn't pay unless you live in Washington, D.C. So bear with me. You're getting the $3,600 even if you didn't make any money. But they said, we can give it to you partly up front or all at the end or however you want it. So $300 a month if you want it helps your cash flow a little bit. And it doesn't hurt anything because you know that money is being gifted to you by them next April 15th. Can't run out one way or the other. Well, they pulled a little fast one on us for this one. And they've been shouting from the treetops how wonderful they are, the new tax credit. They're not giving you the money this time.
Nope.
Come April 15th, you don't get $3,600 to work against. All it works against is what you have paid in yourself through your payroll withholding or quarterlies. Now, let's say you were cutting it close. We'd like to advise clients to try to stay within $100 or $2 of breaking even. If you pay a little or get a little back, that way nobody's making any loans to anybody. So let's say you were going to get just throw out a number, $1,000 refund. You're way overdoing it a little bit. But you decide you're going to take $3,600 worth of monthly payments against that. Well, when you get up to April 15th, your $1,000 has disappeared, and you owe $1,600. They didn't tell you that, did they?
Lucky you. And then what happens if you're not eligible come April?
Oh, you remember all those payments we were getting for the CARES and they're giving you money, the PPP, whatever. If you got money from the government then, you did not have to pay it back. Now, there are a couple of people that are trying to get clawed back. But in general, if you've received some money, it's yours, period, end of discussion, even if you weren't qualified by income. This time, it's different. So if you get $300, like Adam did, and time has gone by and his income got a little higher and all of a sudden he's not in these qualification limits, do you think he has to give it back? Last time, no. This time, oh, yes.
So basically, I got a nice letter from the government on Friday saying, look what we did for you. Mm-hmm. And what they did for me was try and slap me with a big tax bill next year. So the good news is you can opt out of this. And
yes,
there is a website you can go to opt out of this. I did it. It was fairly simple. If you do have a question about that, if you think you might be in the same situation as me, call me at the office on Monday, 685-1505, and we'll walk you through it.
And I think this one is so particularly powerful and important to people that we will probably do it again in each of the next two shows, because you can opt out anytime you want to, and not everybody gets to hear every show. But if you don't, there's going to be some mightily unhappy people come tax return time, and there's going to be a lot of unhappy tax preparers, because they're going to be giving news to people that they're not going to like.
No doubt.
You know what you do. You blame the messenger. Just don't shoot the messenger, okay? All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.